Herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Ethics and Euros. Sina und Karin von Eukokredit treffen sich auf einen fairen Kaffee mit inspirierenden Talkgästinnen aus aller Welt. Beim Geruch der Kaffeebohne bringen sie Meinungen und Generationen zusammen und sprechen darüber, wie Geld sinnvoll eingesetzt werden kann. Und nun viel Spaß mit Ethics and Euros. Hello and welcome everybody to a new episode of Ethics and Euros. My name is Karin and I work for the communications team of Eukokredit in Germany. And in this episode, we want to talk about the Endclient survey that Eukokredit has been conducting over the last 3 years together with its partner organizations. And we want to focus today on how this data actually helps our partners to improve the living circumstances of low-income people. Yeah, and we also want to talk about female empowerment and the role that it plays for our partners as well as in the survey. Yeah, and this and more I will talk about with my very special guest today. She's the CEO of a former partner organization called Finca Peru. And Finca Peru played an essential role in the development of the Endclient survey. Yeah, and I'm really, really thrilled to have her here today, at least virtually. I'm in the studio in Cologne and she's calling from Peru. She's based in Peru. Yeah, warm, warm welcome, Iris Lanau. It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Karin. It's really a privilege to be here with you. And hello, everybody that's listening. Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you here and thanks for joining. Could you just briefly tell our listeners who Finca Peru is and what kind of services and products do you offer to your clients?
Okay, Finca Peru is a nonprofit organization that started 30 years ago in a place called Ayacucho and the surroundings that have suffered of terrible violence, more than 15 years of violence, and 70,000 people died in Peru. 600,000 had to flee the place of living just because to escape from the danger. And, you know, I have to tell a personal experience. My parents founded Finca 30 years ago, and they went back to their hometown. They wanted to help as much they could. And they got a very tiny grant of $10,000. And they did such a great job that an American foundation was willing to give them a grant of $300,000. And my mom said, what are we going to do with all this money? And at that time, I was working as a consultant precisely in microenterprise microfinance that was starting in Latin America. So, you know, I just helped them. And in a year, I knew that their dream was my very own dream. And here I am 30 years later, still in the organization. Mm-hmm. But the thing that makes me happy is that my daughter, after getting an MBA degree at Harvard, working for the Grameen Foundation in the United States, and then 8 years at the largest bank in Peru, is now working with us. Mm-hmm. So, okay. In fact, that is very special.
So you're a microfinance institution and you offer loans to the end clients, right?
Correctly. Since the very start, microfinance, or Finca Peru specifically, was born with a social mission in its heart, you know, because poverty is not just a lack of money. My parents understood very well, especially my mother, that women, widows of those terrible times, mm-hmm. needed to rebuild their self-confidence, their self-esteem, to be convinced and trust that with their capacities, they will come out of these terrible years they lived. So we started like that. We started a microfinance institution with a social mission in the sense that they need financial services, of course, but they also need what we call human development services. Mm-hmm. You know, they mm-hmm. need to understand things about their personal being, their family, their health, education mm-hmm. that they have not received mm-hmm. because of, you know, inequalities there mm-hmm. are in mm-hmm. the, in gender, especially in the mm-hmm. rural areas.
Yeah, we're going to talk about female empowerment later on because this is a really special topic for Finca Peru, right? And as well as for EcoCredit. But before we start directly into the discussion, I just want to briefly explain to all of the people who are listening and who have never heard of EcoCredit before and you just stumble across this podcast by accident, to just give them an insight in who EcoCredit is and what's our connection to Finca Peru. So let me just briefly explain that. EcoCredit is a worldwide cooperative where you can invest your money sustainably. That means that you can invest in EcoCredit, you buy participations, and we use that money to finance social companies and organizations in the countries of the Global South, for example, in Peru, such as Finca Peru, who used to be a partner of us. And yeah, I'd say it's more than just a rare investment. It's rather a collaboration with the partner organizations because we have a lot of capacity building programs and programs, for example, such as the End Clan Survey that we've been conducting together with our partner organizations in the last years. And yeah, one other thing that's also really crucial about EcoCredit is that it finances a lot of cooperatives in the agricultural sector. For example, a lot of coffee cooperatives. And I feel like this is a great transition to move to the coffee drinking part of the podcast. Because usually we want to invite our guests on the podcast on a cup of coffee or tea or whatever we want to drink. Yeah, and I see already Iris sipping her coffee. She's already prepared. Iris, for you, it's still early in the morning because there's a huge time difference. So there's 6 hours of time difference. So I think the coffee serves you well in the morning, right?
Yes. All day long, actually.
All day long. That's good. And you know, this coffee that I chose, it's actually from Peru. EcoCredit is in it. And for all the people who are listening from Germany, we're going to put it in the show notes of the podcast. There's a link to a list where you can find all the products of EcoCredit or like where EcoCredit financiation is in it. And you can find the list online. And the coffee that I chose today, it's from Peru. And it's from two of our partner organizations called Soli Café y Norandino. I don't know if you heard of them, Iris. You know them?
Yes, sure, I know them. Specifically Norandino. It's a very prestigious co-op. It has grown a lot and they are marvelous, especially Norandino, which I know very well. Yes, they have excellent coffee also in that part of Peru. Yeah.
And geographically, where would you say, like, I think it's in the north of Peru and you're calling from Ayacucho, right? In the south of Peru?
Yeah, we are in the southern area, mm-hmm. the southern Andean area. They are more in the north, mm-hmm. Cajamarca and Amazonas. Mm-hmm. And some of the co-ops are also in the jungle area where the coffee grows, right? Yes.
Yeah, Iris, you've been with Finca Peru for the last 30 years. And if I remember correctly, last year was your 30th anniversary with Finca Peru, right?
No, this year.
This year. Okay.
Yes, from March.
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. We really had a lot of fun all the year celebrating because I think good things have to be celebrated. And for our staff, it's very mm-hmm. important also. And we always say we are going to work 30 more years. And what are we going to do? Because we are doing more. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's very nice, really. Thank you.
30 years is a lot of time. And it's really something you can be proud of, especially with the work that you've been doing and have done in the last 30 years. Yeah, and if I remember correctly, you came across EcoCredit in the year 2009. And you've been working together, or EcoCredit and Finca Peru have been working together for the last 15 years, also on the development of the End Clan Survey. Why did you choose EcoCredit as an investor, or what do you think is a special connection between the two organizations?
Okay, it's really important that as a microfinance organization or a financial service provider also can see the other side, or the other half of microfinance, which is also helping organizations, helping partners to build their own capacities to better serve their clients. I think that is the most important thing that I value and I appreciate about OrcoCredit. They are committed. They are committed to helping the partners. So, I mean, it's not just the money that comes and we pay back and that's it. No, the organization needs to develop these capacities in order to serve better their clients. And in that sense, we have been engaged with OICO in different types of projects, going from social performance managers, management, health education, health promotion, financial education. We have done so many things. They also helped complementing a project we have on the prevention of all types of violence against women and children. And of course, the other important part is this relationship we built with other partners, with other organizations, peer organizations. We value that very much. Also.
And one other thing that both of our organizations have in common is the aim to improve the living circumstance of low-income people. And so this means that OrcoCredit gives a loan to partner organizations such as Finca Peru, and you give smaller loans to your end clients. And of course, it's really important and crucial to know what the end client needs in order to be able to serve them better and to develop the products. This is one thing that you also work together with OrcoCredit on, the development of the end client survey. Yeah, we started with the end client survey in 2021 with five partners. You, as Finca Peru, you were one of them. Yeah, you've been a great support in going further with the survey. It's a really short survey, right? It's around 30 questions, around 50 minutes, more or less. So can you tell us a little bit more about the survey, and especially what kind of results do you get and what do you do with those results?
Well, at first, when we heard about the end client survey, we thought perhaps we will get 100 responses, and then our clients proved us totally wrong. I mean, they were interested in letting our organization know about how they felt, how they, what happened to their lives in the 12 months prior months. And one of the things that we got, for instance, is nobody asked me that, never. You know, how things change in 1 year, 12 months. And sometimes they say, I myself have not thought of that. And so at first, the first responses were very good, because they also said, it's so good that Finca is asking us about that, because we want to let them know. And so, because it started in 21, it was a tough year, the 12 months.
That's true. That's Corona, right? And it was really tough in Peru.
It was really tough. Confinement was very strict. So our clients live on a day-to-day basis. They don't go to work one day. They don't have to eat one day. And one of the things that we found out is that the savings, the culture of savings that we have actually programmed them to save, they said, my family ate with the savings that I had in Finca or in the village bank in Finca. So it was very important for us. That still happens, that people say, I want to let you know how I feel. I want to let you know what I want. And of course, as the more you know your client, the better you can serve them. Unfortunately, in the places we are, it's not so easy for them to fill in a survey, no? Now, in the rural areas, we said, oh, they don't have a smartphone. Oh, they won't be able to do it. But in the 2023 survey, the numbers are going up. 62% of our clients have a smartphone. They need to learn how to use it other than talking on the phone or sending a picture to their family, no? A photo. So that's very important for us also in what we learn about our clients, so we can do things that can improve their quality of life.
Can you give one concrete example? Like, what kind of questions are there? On which area are those questions? How did it improve?
Well, how did it improve for us? We are giving them better services or different services. For instance, one question about climate change. It was only 30% of the population in the first survey that we received the idea that their crops would diminish or the income would decrease when they had a climate event. Mm-hmm. No? Now it's over 87% that have lost some income because mm-hmm. of an event of climate change. Mm-hmm. So what we are doing, we started last year, of course, to focus a little bit more on adaptation to climate change. And of course, we ask some other questions also, because that is good of the end client survey, that we can put some extra questions there that mm-hmm. can serve us better. So we got information about how they see, how they can adapt better. Mm-hmm. And one, of course, is the diversification of crops or getting a little more interest in small animal raising. So they can diversify their income in the sense that there are some crops that get a negative impact from not getting enough water mm-hmm. or from the rain, or we are giving them loans for technology, appropriate technology, you know, like drip irrigation. So, and those are products, loan products that we are now not necessarily designing, no, but we are improving certain types of product, mm-hmm. loan products, so they can actually get better access to finance when they actually need it. So it's more flexible. Mm-hmm. So they are getting more services that can actually help with an intention, with a good intention to help them adapt better. Also, because of okay. all the activities we have done for health education, the health fairs, we call them, in the sense that they can go and get mm-hmm. a checkup. You know, we are very mm-hmm. used to have health checkups every year, but for them, it's mm-hmm. still something that they have to value and learn.
And this is also something that you ask about in the survey, about their health conditions or like the mental health and
yes,
health
definitely.
Well-being?
You know, sometimes mm-hmm. they are, you know, improving their consumption of food, of better food also, mm-hmm. you know, better quality food. And those kind of things are in the survey also. So we can check out if mm-hmm. it's really to check if what you are doing is having some mm-hmm. good results.
Yeah.
No?
Otherwise, you just work and you don't know what kind of effects your work has, right? And like this with the survey, you've got the confirmation that, yes, we're going in the right direction and we're improving something.
And we can also capture satisfaction of clients, no? And the best thing, mm-hmm. of course, is when we ask, how can we improve? They feel very important when they are mm-hmm. telling Finca what we have to do better in mm-hmm. order to serve them better, no? Mm-hmm. So, and according okay. to the information we got in the 2023 survey, there are many activities, key activities that we include, we have included in our operational plan of 2024. So, mm-hmm. Our staff okay. is because we share mm-hmm. everything with our staff, all the results, of course, and they mm-hmm. have this in mind. So when we are planning for 2024, it's here now. And so it's mm-hmm. very good also in okay. planning and later evaluating, of course.
Finca Peru took part in all three end-client surveys, 2021, 22, 23. And the number of end clients who take part in the survey rises from year to year. And I feel like, especially in Finca Peru, the number rises. Do you have an explanation for that? Like, why so many people want to take part? You mentioned before that the people come to you and they, even without being asked, they want to tell you, listen, I want to give you my feedback. So do you feel like this is something special for Finca Peru, or why do the people are so keen?
I think that it's because we take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. Also, we ask them in the meetings, you know, what is the best time where you could calmly answer a survey that comes in your phone. And we make the effort to actually listen to them when they want. And it's not the same to everybody, no? So the hours, some prefer in the evening, some prefer on Saturday at 6 mm-hmm. o'clock, or some on the Sunday morning. So we try to do that, to give them the link of the survey. Also, we give them the information that we have received from the survey. And we said, listen, this is what we are listening from you, and what do you think we can do more, you know, more in detail? And then we come out with things that we have talked about, you know, mm-hmm. so they feel that they are also part of the solution.
Yeah. it's kind of an empowerment as well, right? It's empowerment feeling for the clients, right? Because they're part of the process and part of the development.
True. Yeah, but then you have to work very hard because you can offer things that you cannot deliver.
That's true. And maybe let's just jump to the different topic that you've mentioned before, that it's really crucial for Finca Peru as well as for EcoCredit, the topic of female empowerment. You've mentioned it before at the beginning of Finca Peru, how everything started. And I feel like this is also a really strong connection between both of our organizations. Because, yeah, we have both this focus on female empowerment, which means, for example, that EcoCredit preferably finances partner organizations who offer specifically services for women. And Finca Peru, obviously, is one of those organizations who does that. You have around 12,000 clients and it's 85% women. Is that correct?
83%.
83. Okay, perfect.
What happened is we started with 100% women who lived in urban areas, as I was telling you about the story of Finca, that fled from the terrorist attacks in the rural areas. And we started, basically, it was commercial activities, you know, selling things in the markets and that kind of stuff. But almost 15 years ago, we decided to increase our operations in the rural areas, no? Mm-hmm. With rural families. The thing was that when we got there, and by the way, EcoCredit helped us with the funds, with the financial services to get the money to go there, to the rural areas. The thing was that in the rural areas, because of our culture, no, the head of the family, when there is a head of the family, the man is the one that does all they get the information, they get the training, they go to leadership in the groups that we are working with. So the number of men that we in the rural areas, I mean, it was like 60%, 55% at the beginning. So we have been working a lot with women to giving them the confidence, okay, you can serve as the treasurer of the group. You can serve as the president of the group. They are not used to it. When you go to rural community, you will see all the men sitting in the board of directors table, and the women usually stay in the back. If there are no chairs, they have to sit on the floor. They have to tend for the children. They are usually knitting. And now that's one of the things that I think it's one of the results that have changed the most is we changed that, and we kept saying we are working with the family and it's okay that the women represent the family in this group, and the women can sign. Usually they cannot even write, but they put, you know, the fingerprint there. It's okay, because that's what the man said. No, she cannot even sign her name, no? Or she cannot speak. And of course, she cannot speak fluent Spanish, but she speaks very fluent Quechua, which is their native tongue. So all our field staff talk very fluent Quechua. So that little thing, for instance, gives the women confidence that they are receiving information and training in their mother tongue. So I think that that's very important.
Why is it so important for Finca Peru to focus on female empowerment? Like, what are the benefits for the whole society? Let's say it like that. Other benefits?
Yes. First of all, because of all the inequality, no, to access to education, to information, to financial services, we started with the mission of, you know, closing out that terrible gap that in the rural areas is even more. You know, at our level, professional women get a little less, you know, the salary is not totally equal and that kind of thing. But we do have the possibility of going to university. When I went to university 50 years ago, I went to an engineering school. So only 5% were women. Now, I think we are 40% or something like that in that kind of education, no? So things have changed a lot, but we still have a long way to go, I think, especially in rural areas with uneducated or with little education women, no? So it is very important because you do not only improve the life of the women, but the whole family. And we want to do it for the whole community. Women before only went to leadership roles in the school, no? So in the school, because they have to do everything, they knew the teachers, they helped their schoolwork, etc. But now they are starting to access to leadership positions in other organizations they have in their communities, you know, like Asociación de Productores, which is a producers association, and they can go and they can, I am also very proud of all what we have done in the rural areas with that. When you change a woman, you change the whole community. And
that's the mission for Finca Peru as well as for Orca Credit, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If we go back to the EndClan survey, does female empowerment play a role in the EndClan survey? And if so, how? Is it reflected in the EndClan survey?
Well, I think it is reflected in the EndClan survey because I was looking this morning. We have 83% clients that are women, and the EndClan survey was responded by 84% women clients. So we are getting information from the women themselves, you know, at least it's very close to the amount of women we have. So we are listening to their voices. Actually, the results are coming from the women themselves. So we pay attention to those results, to what they are telling us. Definitely, we will work on the improvement of their life.
Yeah, Iris, I think we're already at the end of our episode. The time went by really quickly. Thank you so much for the nice conversation. It was really, really insightful. And thanks for joining us and being here and sharing with us your knowledge of Finca Peru and the EndClan survey and the collaboration with OicoCredit. So really, thank you so much for taking your time, Iris.
No, yes, thank you, Karen, and thank you to OicoCredit. That has meant a lot for us, especially in getting to poorer clients and improving and in improving their lives. And this and survey client definitely has been a blessing to us in very different ways. So thank you once more to OicoCredit.
Yeah, I'm sure that all our listeners are going to take away a lot of things from this episode. I'm really convinced and amazed by the approach that Finca Peru has. You described it as the human development approach. And I really feel like this, this approach takes all of the aspects of life into account when offering products. And I feel like this is really unique and makes Finca Peru really special. And also about the EndClan survey, it's really important to understand the needs of the EndClans in order to be able to support them by going further and developing. And I feel you do a great job. And thanks for explaining and elaborating on this topic. Thank you, Iris.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a preview on the next episode, which will be published in February. And in the next episode, we will talk about the future of volunteering. And we're going to ask ourselves, is this a concept that it's still up to date or is it already outdated? We're going to have two volunteers of OicoCredit here with us in the studio. They are both from two different generations and they bring a lot of experience as board members, but also for the local work of OicoCredit here in the region in Germany. And the next episode, my colleague Zina is going to moderate it and it's going to be in German. So, thank you all for listening and tune in for the next episode. Bye.